Good morning again, my friend. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV Radio. In our introduction to our new series, Substance and Evidence, A Study of Faith, we discovered faith cometh by, now listen, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. And when we hear from Him, God then will supply us with all that we need to do that which God wants us to do. You know, too, this is why many Christians have no faith, why they do not hear from God. Their God is a ritual or it's some religious work in their church and, sadly, in their lives. Their God has no hope or supply to maintain the strength and the ability in the individual. Wow. But we must hear God speak to us. Let me say that again. We must hear God speak to us. Also, we looked at how faith operates, the rule of three taken from John 11 and 40. Amen? Number one, rule number one, did I not say to thee? Rule number two, if thou wouldest believe, if thou wouldest believe. And then rule number three, you shall see the glory of God. Wow, see the glory of God. Rule number three. God must speak it, and we must hear it. Let me say that again. God must speak it, and we must hear it. We cannot claim it, or we cannot stand on the promises, or any of that religious hyper-spiritualism. That stuff does not work. But my friend, it is all God's stuff. He gives His goods to us. God gives us His things. Rule number two says, if we believe, well, believe what? Everything? No, no, my friend. No. We must believe what God has told us. And then we shall see, rule number three, the glory of God. Well, my friend, I have a question for you today. What glory do you need to see today? Hope you have your spirit open now. What glory do you need to see from God today? You know, we can hope and we can pray and we can even fast to see God's glory, but no, my friend, this all will not work. It is not the way that God has His glory arranged. It is not the design of God's divine spiritual principle as it comes and deals with faith. Oh, no. We will be able to see the glory of God spoken to us and what we are believing for based on God speaking to us and us hearing it. If God speaks it, then He wants to reveal His glory to us. Wow. If God speaks it, He wants to reveal His glory to us. Amen? Okay, my friend, let us again continue to open up our spirit and let us go a little deeper into the substance and evidence of a study of faith. You know, the biblical writers of the Bible did not aim to provide an exhaustive idea of the inherent nature of faith. But there is one suggestive passage, the familiar beginning of the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, the first verse. And the brother Paul shares this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we might say that faith makes the unseen things for which we hope certain to our spirit. Let me say that again. We might say that faith makes the unseen things for which we hope certain to our spirit. And I dare say in many cases where faith is mature, the unseen world is more real and certain than the visible world. In dealing with this well-known text, I cannot hope to give an exhaustive understanding, for there's just too many interesting and suggestive words to be treated and lines of thought to be transversed. But as a general remark of concern of faith, we must always remember three things. These three things are always true in any case where our faith is to be exercised. The first is the objective of faith must be beyond the field of normal or human achievement. Were it not so, faith would be quite unnecessary, for the natural means would be able to accomplish that desired end. Faith must be beyond the capture of our senses. Let me say that again. Faith must be beyond the capture of our senses. The natural impossibilities is the atmosphere in which faith works. Wow. And the second thought is the unseen object of faith must be hoped for. That is, the object of faith is a personal desire or an ideal or an objective which calls out from our heart. Here we touch the realm of motives. Oh, my friend, there is always the motive to be considered as a normal feature of our faith. The will alone may not lay hold of the invisible ideal or the objective. The motive or the heart yearning must be there also. Brother Paul in Galatians 5:6 says this, "But faith worketh by love." Oh, boy, I like that. Here we find the true motive of faith, which really accomplishes things from God, or for God. When I go overseas often to minister, I am asked to pray for people. And often people will say, "Dave, will you go ahead and pray for my faith?" So I say, "Okay, I will pray for your faith." So then I start praying for their love. Remember, faith worketh by love. So no love in our lives, our faith will not be able to operate when we hear from God at a maximum effectiveness. Wow. Faith worketh by love. Boy, I really like that. I will let that sink in a moment. And I hope you really have your spirit open. And the third thought is, there must be a personal conviction which leads to the venture or the movement on the part of the individual. He is convinced, come hell or high water, that the object is not vague or it's not a shadow, but it is an object as real as any other object ever seen in the world. In this message here, I would like for us to consider two words, which sometimes has caused confusion and makes faith a stumbling block when it should be just the normal breath of a believer. The word substance is misleading because we think it means the natural essence of an object. We say the substance of these notes are paper and lead. In other words, the substance of these notes are the notes themselves. It is very materialistic evidence. Yes, that is what we mean by the use of the word substance, but that is not the meaning of the word as used here in our text in Hebrews 11:1. The word used here is the Greek word hypostasis. It is made of two words, hypo, under, and stasis, which means stand. It is that which stands under. It is not the object hoped for, but that which stands under and supports that object and bringing it into a material manifestation. If it were the object, we would have no need for faith because we would have the object of our desire. In Romans 8:24, I like this, Paul shares, "For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for?" Faith, faith cannot, it cannot mean the material substance, for that would be a contradiction and utter foolishness. Faith is like my arm, which reaches out and supports or stands under my nose as I am bringing them down from the shelf. My arm is not the substance or the object, but it is the stand under which supports the object, which is my notes, and helping to bring them down. Okay, got that? Good. Now I'm going to go even a little deeper in faith. Amen? Faith is that principle, that exercise of our mind, our soul, and our spirit, all three, which has for its object things not seen but hoped for, and instead of sinking under them as too large or too heavy, whether from the difficulties of life or from the uncertainty, stands firm under them and supports and even sustains us from their very, very pressure. This is a word of comfort and an encouragement to those who are trying to, you ready for this? fool themselves into believing they have the object of their faith. And we see this so often in today. Amen. This has been David Saul from Beholding His Glory, hoping that you have a wonderful day and the Word has just transformed your faith into an understanding that will enable you to go forward in God. And we look forward to tuning in next week. Amen. God bless.